world. I'm John Batchelor. John Bolton, former national security advisor, former ambassador to the United States, writing most recently at the Post about a Russian flotilla that sailed into Havana Harbor, including a nuclear-powered and submarine capable of firing nuclear-tipped missiles. All of this made great excitement, and now we report that that same Russian flotilla in these last hours is reported by the AP to have left Havana Harbor, destination unknown, although in John Bolton's piece in the New York Post and in the AP copy in 3 hours, it's very clear that Venezuela is often mentioned as the destination. John, a very good evening to you. It was the Cuban Missile Crisis, of course, that comes to everybody's mind who's old enough to remember those headlines in those dark days in October 1962. The Russians think about it as well. Why did they include, for the first time, to my knowledge, sailing into Havana Harbor or even the Caribbean waters, a nuclear-powered, nuclear-capable submarine? What was the message, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I think the message from Putin is you have not harmed or impaired Russia's global military reach and capabilities because of the war in Ukraine. Your sanctions have not affected us. We can still come 90 miles away from the Florida Keys, 90 miles from U.S. territory. Before they sailed into Havana Harbor, they held live fire missile exercises, test exercises off in international waters. So it was intended for timing purposes to coincide with the G7 meeting in Italy to show that the Russians were simply not worried about whatever the G7 would come up with. And I think their next port of call, I suspect, is Maracaibo in Venezuela. Could be other places as well. They don't want to come all the way across the Atlantic and just go to Cuba. And it's reminding everybody in the hemisphere that the Russians have friendly regimes in Cuba, in Venezuela, the Maduro regime still in power, still stealing elections, and Danny Ortega and the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. So we can mess with them in Putin's view in Ukraine if we want. They're going to mess with us over here.
In response or not response, just coincidentally, there is a Canadian warship off the coast of Havana that comes into the port and an American attack submarine, Virginia class, I believe, at Guantanamo Bay. Was that meant to be an answer to the Russian flotilla?
I don't think the American nuclear submarine was an answer, although what appears to have happened is this was a regular call by that submarine. And when the White House learned about it, they began clutching their pearls and wringing their hands that maybe we would upset the Cubans and the Russians. Now, fortunately, according to press reports, the Pentagon prevailed in that debate because you can't have our adversaries disrupting our normal maneuvers. What the Canadian ship was up to, I don't know. But I thought it was a nice touch to follow the Russian submarine right into Havana Harbor.
It is not just the fleet that's in the Americas from Russia. It is also diplomacy and trade. I note that the president of Bolivia, Arce, is said to be in Moscow at this moment. We can mention Managua, Nicaragua, very close to Russian agents in the capital. Havana is obvious. Caracas is obvious. Other states are disposed towards Russia. I'm named Brasilia, for example, that has not of yet had an opinion about the Ukraine war. Is Russia in a good place, John, to continue its influence in the Americas? And does the United States have an answer?
Well, I think they're going to try and pull every string. You know, a lot of the rulers in power now are children and grandchildren of communists and communist sympathizers during the Cold War. They have names like Vladimir and Igor and the like that their parents gave them because they thought they were admirable names. So there's obviously an anti-U.S. Heritage in much of Latin America, and the Russians are going to try and play on it. And I think they see in the Biden administration a weak president with his bandwidth consumed with the war in Ukraine, the situation in the Middle East, and a very, very close presidential election. And I think it's not just Russia, it's China and others that in the next 5 months before the election are thinking right now of ways to take advantage of us.
You mentioned the president and the White House's reaction to the flotilla. The White House's reaction to any change in battles. I've made a few notes, John, before we started talking. We have Havana Harbor. We have Gaza, where the IDF says that it's close to destroying half of what's left in Rafah, but the fighting continues. We have the Hezbollah in the north, and Mr. Hochstein from the White House has raced to Jerusalem. I believe he's going on to Beirut to prevent, which is what I can't imagine how you can prevent, a war in the north. We've been waiting for years about that. And then we have the ramming incident in the South China Sea. John, the White House's fear of a wider war, is it already here? Everybody's taking advantage. I throw in the Houthis.
Well, I think we are clearly on the back foot in a number of locations, and it is this desperate desire of the White House just not to have a pot boil over anywhere before the election in November. That's what's driving this. There's no strategic policy behind any of this. It's simply a desire to avoid the world looking more chaotic than it is in fact. And I think if you look at a whole range of things that have happened over the past 2 years, stemming in substantial part, not entirely, but in substantial part from the ever-tightening Russia-China axis, without riders like Iran, like North Korea, like Belarus, like Venezuela and Cuba, really acting against the interests of the United States and our allies on a worldwide basis. And we are responding, and it's not just the White House, but many U.S. political leaders on a reaction in this place and a reaction in that place, and not looking at the big picture overall, which is where the real threat comes from.
The G7, they produced a document denouncing, maybe that's too strong a word, certainly calling out China for supplying the Russian war machine in Ukraine. Is that a successful strategy to call out China?
No, it's not. It was probably the most that the administration asked for, and they were lucky to get it. You have to see China's role aiding Russia in Ukraine, not simply in political terms, but in hard, tangible terms, providing components for ammunition and weapons, giving Russia a way to get its financial resources out into the international financial world and avoid the sanctions, buying much more Russian oil and gas, thereby pumping money into the Russian treasury to fund the war in Ukraine. And while all this is going on, China's paying essentially no price. China watches the Houthis close the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, yet their ships can get through. It's just Western ships that can't. So, you know, until the Europeans really see the extent of the Chinese problem, and they understand only part of it, frankly, I think we're still learning what the full extent of it is. But we need the Europeans to wake up to this new reality that's been forming as we watch between Russia, China, and all these outliers threatening us, maybe not in a fully coordinated way yet, but certainly acting together to threaten us all around their periphery.
And calling in Venezuela, is that in your face to the White House? You've tried to take us down, and now we're going to have a vote that's crooked, and we have a Russian fleet to back us up. Is that what it's meant to be, John?
Well, it's just showing Maduro has taken the White House gestures, lifting sanctions, offering to allow them to have a, quote, free and fair election. And it's exactly putting both thumbs in both of our eyes and saying, we took you to the cleaners and we're inviting our Russian friends to celebrate. It's a way, and I think it is seen in this hemisphere as a way of insulting the United States and getting no response back.
John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.